By a show of hands, how many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz? For those who have not, there is a scene where Dorothy is in Munchkin Land. She was deposited there as a result of a tornado. Dorothy finds out that the only one who can help her get back home to Kansas with her dog Toto is the Wizard of Oz, who lives in the Emerald City. So she asked, "How do I get to the Emerald City?" Do you recall what the Munchkins tell her? That's right. Follow the yellow brick road. It will take you where you will find the Great Oz. If only it were that easy for us as we seek a way in this life to find our way into heaven. Allow me to offer an observation. Where we wind up depends on which road we take. Let me explain. You cannot go south from here and expect to go to New York City. You cannot go east from here and arrive at the Mississippi. Of course, you could do this if you were to circumnavigate the globe, but using the roads which are in place now would make it absolutely impossible for you to do that. Just as this is true in the physical realm, it is also true in the spiritual realm. Therefore, where we wind up in eternity will be determined by the road we take here on earth. It is impossible to take a wrong road and go to heaven. And it is impossible to take the heavenly road and go to hell. With that in mind, what we do while in this world will determine the destination we will arrive at when we leave this life. And leaving this life is extremely certain, as the letter of James, chapter 4, verse 14 tells us. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. The book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, tells us basically the same thought. Yet the important issue is the way, the manner, the means to enter into heaven when we are called from this life, and that is determined by the direction that we follow. Luke chapter 13, verse 22 says, Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. At the end of his journey, Jesus knew the cross and death awaited him there. Luke tells us this because he wants to show us that Jesus always kept focused and intent on following God's will for his life. A life that was to be surrendered in Jerusalem through suffering and death for our sins. Jesus pursued God's will intentionally and resolutely as an example to us that it is possible despite any personal cost. We also are expected to do the same in making our way through the narrow gate. In order to get through the narrow gate, one must be on the right road. Remember, I explained that if one is on the wrong road, they cannot get there from here. The reason why the gate is narrow is because the path to heaven is narrow. Normally, I like wide roads. If the guy in front of me is going too slow, I can move into the next lane and speed right past him. I can drive the way I want. For similar reasons, some of us are attracted to the idea of a wide road to heaven, mainly because it gives us room to travel through life the way we want. It will allow us the space to believe what we want and to live our lives the way we want. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 tells us that the wide gate and broad road leads to destruction, and by choosing it, we will be led away from God, away from the narrow gate and the gift of the heavenly kingdom. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went on a trip to get a change of scenery. While riding on a three-lane road, we endured a driving rain and a winding road construction. As a result, I missed our turn. The next exit was miles ahead, and then the turnaround still included multiple lefts and rights, and even a U-turn. All of that just to head back to my desired exit. It would have been so much easier had I stayed in the right lane instead of moving left and rushing past the car in front of me, causing me to miss the newly constructed turnoff to my destination. Eternity in the heavenly kingdom is a gift freely given to all. God wants everyone to accept it. It cannot be earned. But in order to take delivery of it, we must free ourselves of all the burdens that make it impossible to receive it. It is the wide gate and broad road in life that we embrace that prevents us from accepting this free gift. Some friends I have in Florida tell me that each year at various parades in Port St. Lucie, candy is thrown from the floats for anyone to take freely. Some of the children who receive it may not deserve it, but it is unmerited and totally free. Everyone understands that you cannot just wait for the candy to land in your lap. They have to be willing to put aside whatever they are holding, sit or stand along the hot pavement, and act quickly when the free candy is thrown your way. It is the same in the offer of salvation that God presents to us. Heaven is free and unmerited. But everyone must be willing to put aside, leave behind, let go of anything that will keep him or her from receiving this wonderful gift. This means our pride, self-sufficiency, old way of life, personal autonomy, or whatever, so that we can take hold of heaven and eternal life. The reason why the gate is narrow is because the path to heaven is narrow. We must come through the only door, which is Jesus. These are God's terms, and his terms are the only ones that count. So, beware of the false prophets of religion that Matthew warns us about in chapter 7. These are the people who say that all roads lead to the same God. Therefore, being sincere in your belief, being a good person, being religious, being a volunteer or serving other people will be enough. Or the false practitioners of religion who attend church every week and volunteer to help at religious events, as a result, they are aware of many things. They are sometimes identified by the following statement: I don't repeat gossip, so listen very carefully. These are the people Luke is referring to, those who superficially know of Jesus. They never developed a personal relationship with him. If you were planning a wedding reception, you would not invite them because you have only seen them in passing. You know nothing about them, nor do they know anything about you, except what each of you looks like. They will be those who will be standing outside knocking when the householder gets up and closes the door. They will be saying, "Master, open the door for us. We ate with you and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus spoke to Thomas, who was called Didymus, and was one of the 12. When he did, Jesus did not say that I am one way among many ways. Jesus said, "I am the way." He did not say that I am one truth among many truths. He said, "I am the truth." And he did not say, "I am one source of life among many sources of life." He said, "I am the light." The narrow road that leads to the narrow gate that admits us to eternity in the kingdom is not very wide, and it will take energy and commitment to get in. A combination that can only be found through Jesus. And in his words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we stay on the yellow brick road that leads to the narrow gate and at the same time live this life as if it were a preparation for the next one, then we can happily live forever with what we have chosen in this life. Yes, the door is narrow, but it is wide open. Jesus is absolutely the only way in. His offer of forgiveness and entrance into the kingdom extends to every living soul. Let you and I put aside anything and everything so that nothing can hinder us from readily receiving this free gift of God's love.